and Mike Dell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are live at Hooters Mall of Georgia location. We've been hanging out here all week today.
Another day
of Falcons training camp, which we've got a lot of news and notes to tell you about. Brian McFadden is going to stop by in about 15 minutes, co-host of All Things Covered, CBS NFL analyst as well. So we'll go down the list of items, Mike, going around the NFL. But today, the question is, what did you guys see? Dukes and Bell, what did you see day two of training camp? I'm going to tell you what I saw. We got some quarterbacks.
We got some dudes that can spin it, man.
We don't have to worry. I'm telling you guys right now, Kirk Cousins, guys, he was on point today. He was dropping dimes. He was throwing deep balls. And Penix was taking snaps too, Mike, and he looked as efficient. I'm not telling you we have the best quarterback in the NFL. What I am telling you is whatever we were worried about.
He's legit.
Whatever we were worried about, we don't have to worry about right now.
No, actually, it was funny. The other day, we heard the coach, Ross, say that he had, you know, I don't have two quarterbacks. I got four quarterbacks. And I was like, okay, is it Paddock, the kid? Paddock, like a paddock for a horse? Paddock, the quarterback from Illinois? That guy can spin it. It's a 6-foot quarterback. Maybe the size thing kept him from being a higher pick in the NFL or anything. But we got four guys that can throw it. We know Heineke's ceiling. We know where that is, you know, with all due respect. But, boy, the ball comes out. Now, Penix did make some mistakes today. He overthrew on some routes, but that's to be expected. He's got to kind of maybe moderate some of the, you know, the velocity, I think, at times. But we've seen him be able to drop dimes and make all the throws at Washington. But Carl's right. Ball is coming around. Doop, doop, doop. When you see the quarterbacks all come out, and there's, you know, they're all basically four quarterbacks lined up throwing receivers, and it's literally every ball is being thrown at the same time. Isn't that kind of cool? It's like bazookas all going off at the same time.
The two best passes today, one was Cousins, a deep ball. All right. And by the way, Rondell Moore, he's shown out at practice. Darnell Mooney, what's up, Darnell? Shown out at practice. For all the conversation that we've had about what is their role, what are they going to do for this offense, if it looks anything like what we're seeing, and again, we're just getting a small sample space,
right.
These guys are going to have a role in this offense, and they're both speedsters. So the two best passes today, Mike, Penix throws one deep about 65 yards in the air and drops it right in the hands of Rondell Moore, and guess what? He dropped it! He missed the pass, but it was, you couldn't have thrown a better ball. Now, he was defended. There was a DB on him. And then Cousins did a very similar thing, except the ball was caught in the end zone. And it was one of those things where we were watching, and it was like, is that going to get there? And then it was right into his hands. So
it reminded you of the throws you saw in the semifinal game, no offense, against your Texas Longhorns, where he was just dropping dimes in traffic with good coverage and putting the ball right in the receiver's hands. To your point, he's got to come up with a catch. But you love what you're seeing from our quarterbacks. It's you guys know it. Look, you don't want to bag on Desmond Ridder. He was what he was. But it's night and day between the quarterbacks in the last two seasons, what you have now in 24.
No doubt. 404-726-0929. It is our text line. You can find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put Him Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow this radio station, 929 The Game. Your home for the Atlanta Falcons. And we will also cover all the NFL, guys. Nobody does it better here. And we will have all of the latest info and plenty of interviews. And speaking of interviews, we had a chance to catch up with a cool dude today. Now, I feel like, Mike, this is a guy we're going to see a lot of during the season. I think they picked him because of his edge rush and his ability to get to the quarterback. But Braylon Trice out of Washington, edge rusher, interesting guy. Jimmy Lake has some history with him because he recruited him at Washington before he went back to the NFL. But, Mike, what were your impressions? Because we're going to play this interview for you a little bit later on.
Right.
Kid just feels like he already feels like he's at home, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we've talked about guys that are rookies, and some guys come in. For instance, last year we talked about Bergeron from Syracuse. He looked like he's already been in the NFL 5 years. This guy, and you've heard that if you read the same like scouting reports we looked at from NFL Network, if you say, hey, well, the Falcons drafted who? Let me read up on this guy. They say Braylon Trice is a leader. We talk about gravitas, you know, just having the juice. This guy, he seems like a veteran. I was joking around in the interview. I said, if feel like an OG talking to the guy.
Yeah.
So he just seems like a guy. He has a reputation as a thumper, a guy who loves to drop the hammer at Washington, and he was a real leader. Him and Penix, kind of cool. The two guys who were the two captains on both sides of the ball wind up with the Falcons.
You'll hear what he had to say coming up in the show. Also, a little bit later on, what about Kyle Pitts? He spoke to the media today, and our own Andy and Randy had a chance to visit with him as well. So you will hear Kyle Pitts' comments. As critical as I've been, I still sometimes have to catch myself and say, you know, he's only 20, 21. Right. He's still a very young guy. He got drafted at age 20, should I say.
Yeah.
But this into year four. And for me, Mike, when you look at Kyle Pitts and then if you were to walk up on him, you go, man, how is this guy not dominating the league?
Right.
Injuries, we understand that. But from a physical standpoint, Kyle Pitts should be a physical force. He should be a red zone terror. And hopefully that happens. But he said all the right things today. And listen, we're going to throw all our support behind him. I want to see the kid successful. But I also told you guys this. To me, he's the most important piece. I think he's got to be the piece to deliver this season.
It was kind of funny in the press conference we were a part of, and then you heard the interview, and we'll play it for you with Kyle Pitts and Andy Rende. But he is actually still the youngest guy in the tight end room at age 23 because some of the guys who were added this year had that extra year with COVID in the NFL, yeah. Like moving to the NFL. But, you know, I said this on Twitter. You know, I know sometimes some fans feel we're too critical. Look, at the end of the day, it's results driven. You got to be on the field. You got to be healthy. That's part of how you're evaluated, especially when you're a top five pick in the NFL. But nobody will doubt. And you'll hear this, and we talked about it earlier, you and I off the air. He is such a rootable, likable guy. You know, talking about being a father for the first time, talking about, you know, the everything from the Madden game and the quarterbacks. He's rooming with the quarterbacks, by the way, at this weekend. It's just a good dude. You want to see a guy like this make it happen. And this is the year I think all of those picks, which had you going, huh, are going to finally come to fruition because you got a great quarterback.
Let's hope so. The other news, and we will get to the Braves debacle last night, but the other news is, what is Kirby Smart going to do? Georgia's wide receiver, Ra-Ra Thomas, was arrested early this morning on one felony charge of cruelty to a child and two misdemeanor charges of battery, according to Athens-Clarke County Jail. So, Mike, he remained in jail as of early this morning, 9:30. We have heard nothing from the football program, the athletic program, at this point. This is Thomas's second arrest since joining the Bulldogs after 2022 season, where he was arrested after an alleged domestic violence incident in the dorm. We said, let's find out all the information with that situation. We let it play out. It was adjudicated. Guys, he was moving forward. But I got to tell you something, Mike, with where we've been and SEC media days and Kirby talking about, you know, guys being fined, and I think you were out, but he was talking about, look, our collective has been fining guys, and that's how we've been kind of handling this, and I'm not even really involved. That's not going to be enough for me. Kirby, you got to let this guy go.
Yeah, I know that, too, as we said, it's America, baby. You're still innocent until proven guilty. And if he's got a situation, if he's in a toxic relationship with a woman and she's making allegations that aren't true, that's one thing. But this is the second time this has come down the pike. He was able to get through it the first time. Don't know all the details. Certainly know this. There'll be nobody in the collective trying to get him out of jail if he's not out of jail already. He's going to have to call his family to get some bond money because I think Georgia's going to cut loose. I know Kirby says, yeah, let the legal process play out. The optics on this are terrible. This is the argument against, again, everybody's using the portal. So you can't say everybody in the portal is a bad guy or, you know, everybody's situation is unique. But this is a guy who, sorry, you already came to Georgia with a rep from Miss State. I'm done with you. Got to cut him. Goodbye.
Thomas played in the first 11 games last year, and then a foot injury kept him out the final three games. Guys, this was supposed to be
the year.
The year where he's supposed to elevate and be one of Carson Beck's big-time receivers. So we've talked a lot about this over the last 6 to 8 months, certainly even going back to last year where you had the tragedy happen with the street racing. I just think with all the heat that we've seen looked at the Georgia program, and specifically Kirby, what are you going to do? Got to let this guy go. And if, by the way, they fine him, Mike, and take money out of his NIL pocket and that's sufficient, shame on you guys. I just don't think in this situation it's enough. And for Ra-Ra Thomas, it's funny because you see the headline and you immediately think, well, he was street racing. No, he wasn't. To me, this is worse.
Yeah, this is something. Now, again, there's always three sides, and if there was some allegations that are being thrown out there, knowing that if you're – again, sometimes bad guys make bad decisions in the relationships they get in, but I'm not making excuses. All I know is you got to get out of there. And if it is true, I don't – you cannot represent the University of Georgia in any way, shape, or fashion. You're gone. Adios. And now, you know, enjoy playing in Arena League, because if these allegations are accurate, the NFL is never going to touch you.
No, and you know, we said this. Kirby's been – he's not been quick to do those things.
No, he wants to let the process play out. Sometimes it can be, you know, pre-court, you know, adjudication. Sometimes we see charges are dropped. There's ways you can work – sometimes you're working the system. Sometimes things aren't what they were purported to be.
Sure, sure. And by the way, if this was the first incident – I look at it differently. If this was the first incident in which we were talking about Georgia and the football program off the field, mm-hmm. I would look at it differently. That has not been the case. 404-726-0929. You guys can let us know what you think about that as well. That is a big story that we've been following today and just kind of keeping an eye out on. We're going to spend a lot of time about day two of practice tomorrow, Mike. They're at the high school, as a matter of fact. I think Bo right. and Big Mike, Mike Johnson, they've got a show over at the high school tomorrow evening while the Falcons will be practicing. Monday will be an off day, and then we'll be back up here Tuesday and Wednesday and broadcasting live from Hooters here. But things are you can see – As Ross said, they're building. And if you watch today, it was a little bit faster. And it's going to continue to build towards them putting on the pads and going full speed.
Right on. Now, tomorrow night at Second Year High School, it is first come, first serve. Tickets are not required. You can get tickets for Mercedes-Benz. $5 in proceeds benefiting supportive medical programs at Emory Healthcare. So it's a great cause. We're going to be down there, as Carl mentioned. Going to be a blast. How big is the crowd here at Hooters? Well, it's early days, but we do have big ballers here, Carl. Have you seen the parking lot today?
Yeah, it looks like a car show out there.
We got Lambos. We got McLarens. Man, my Corvette just looks like a Volkswagen compared to what these guys got out there, bro. It's big money. Big money crowd. But you know why? Because Dukes and Bell have the most affluent listeners in all of Atlanta radio.
The research shows us that. Hey, coming back, Brian McFadden's going to join us.
Gwinnett is popping.
We're going to talk about what's going on around the NFL. Specifically, it sounds like a breakup to me. I think they're breaking up.
Uh-oh.
We'll talk about it with B-Mac coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell, this hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We're live at Hooters, hanging out, talking about our Falcons and all things NFL, all 32 teams at camp, guys, and everybody's kind of working up to the start of what's going to be their first physical practice. By the way, next Thursday, it's August 1st, right? You guys know what? Hall of Fame game. Hall of Fame game.
It's here.
Thursday,
season's here, right?
Next week. Let's talk to our man, B-Mac, Brian McFadden. He has a great podcast called All Things Covered. Two-time Super Bowl champion. And, of course, he is a football analyst for CBS. B-Mac, I know you're on the road, man. Where are you at? Where have you been, first and foremost?
Well, I'm back on dry land, as I like to say. I just got back late last night. But I was with the Houston Texans. I know you talked about next Thursday, the Hall of Fame game that will consist of the Houston Texans, and I'm not mistaken, the Chicago Bears. So I was with Houston last week for their first full padded practice, which was very, very intense. And then I left Houston, went to Indianapolis to participate in the Big Ten Media Week from Tuesday until yesterday.
Very cool. Well, we want to start with, and we're going to get to the Falcons, but there's so many different storylines Mike and I have been talking about all week long.
Yeah, man. I know. The Texans, it's funny. We saw the Chiefs and we saw the Texans scrapping early. Usually it takes about 4 or 5 days of hitting the same guys, maybe 2 weeks, Brian, before guys start wailing on each other. Is it the new NFL? Are they getting meaner? Because we were joking around. This Falcon practice so far is literally like patty cake compared to the stuff that you probably went through.
Oh, no question. I think, you know, you will see more intensity with Atlanta once they put on, you know, the full pads. But for what I witnessed with Houston was just the physical nature that's being displayed on either side of the football. And, you know, coming from DeMeco Ryans, who once was a player in the National Football League, you know, DC, you look at his coaching style, it's all about being physical. And that's what I saw. And I tell you this much, guys, I know we're hearing a lot about the expectations for some organizations in the NFC or the AFC. But the Houston Texans, they have a varsity squad. They look the part. I mean, from top to bottom, O-line, D-line, linebackers, wide receivers, when they walk off the bus, they look like they're ready to go. And I know we're talking about Kansas City, of course, deserving so as the cream of the crop, and not just the NFL, but the AFC. But people need to start paying attention to the Houston Texans, because if they stay healthy, you're hearing it here first from me. That could be a team that can get to the Super Bowl.
B-Mac, I think it's a breakup, and I want you to tell me what you think. Did you hear what Jerry Jones said, and then did you hear what Dak Prescott's response was? Basically, paraphrasing, Dak said, look, sometimes, you know, I watch my favorite quarterbacks in this league, and, you know, they've moved on, and they're with their second team, and that's not a bad thing. You can't be fearful of that. Jerry said, sometimes in life there have been things I wanted to get, and I couldn't get them, and then I've been better off for them.
Mm.
It sounds like this thing is – this is what they said yesterday. This thing sounds like it's a breakup. This is like the last run, whatever happens regardless, because they don't want to pay Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of tongue wrestling going on early on out there with the Cowboys during their camps. But, yeah, you know, I think the writing was already on the wall, guys, because usually organizations that really believe in their franchise quarterback, they don't allow them to get to the final year of their deal without getting something done, without getting an extension done. You don't usually see that. So they kind of told us without telling us what they thought about Dak Prescott moving forward outside of the season of 2024. Because he's at this spot in this contract where nothing has been done. And get this, we have yet to hear about there have been conversations. They're close. We're this far away. We have, it's almost like they're not even talking about contracts with Dak Prescott. And if they are, it's all been internal. So I think it is safe to say this might be Dak Prescott's final year in the Cowboys uniform. And it's odd to really see that happening because Dak Prescott is a winning quarterback in the National Football League. I know he gets criticized a lot for the lack of production in the postseason, but he's a winning quarterback. Usually guys that are older in their career with their draft team, that's when they separate and go opposite directions, like Brett Favre did with the Green Bay Packers. When he played the majority of his career out in Green Bay, of course, towards the end of his career, he left. The same could be said with Peyton Manning when he was with the Colts, and then eventually towards the end of his career, he left. Dak Prescott is still in the prime of his years, in my opinion. So I think the writing is on the wall. We just got to see how it plays out.
He just can't win the big one, Brian. I mean, that's the knock on him. Had his best year with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy's in his last year of his contract, by the way. So what's Jerry going to do? Going to try to go the free agent route, bring in another quarterback and a new coach? Could Belichick be the guy next year? Are they going to go draft a quarterback? Because it just seems like the Cowboys are so close, they just need to not choke. Last year against Green Bay, that was just a choke job.
And they don't have a plan. But to your point about that, Prescott just can't win the big one. Call Mike. How many quarterbacks can win the big one?
Think we got a that. Guy here with a rep that can't win the big one, and Kirk Cousins. Exactly. A lot of guys.
Think about it. And I look at that with Kirk Cousins as kind of unfair because there's only a few that can win the big one. There's only a few that have shown the ability to win the big one. One of the more talented, productive quarterbacks in the National Football League, not named Patrick Mahomes, is Lamar Jackson. He has the same amount of MVP awards as playoff wins. Like, that's the consensus throughout the National Football League at the quarterback position. But I'll tell you this much, give me a quarterback that can at least get me close to competing for a big one than a quarterback that you know you don't have a shot. Because you talked about the playoff game against Green Bay. Yes, Dak Prescott didn't play his best ball to start the game off, but he got things rolling. Dak Prescott had nothing to do with the defense not stopping Aaron Jones. Dak Prescott had nothing to do with the defense not stopping Jordan Love and his pass catchers. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I know Dak Prescott threw a pick six, which is 6 points in favor of the opposing team. But the Cowboys still scored 30-plus points and lost.
Mm. By the way, speaking
correct me
of –
if I'm wrong, right?
No, you're
like
right.
Mid-30?
You're right. Absolutely. I mean, that's just – it's been part of the issue. We're going around the NFL with our buddy B-Mac. Ravens quarterback, by the way, Lamar Jackson, out of practice for the second straight day with illness. Lasted just 1 hour in camp in his debut on Wednesday. So I guess he's a little bit under the weather. And they're just like, look, man, you're good. Current MVP, you can take some time. But that's coming out of the Ravens camp. Meanwhile, what do you make of what else is going on? We got a bunch of holdouts and hold-ins. Ja'Marr Chase, right? He's there, but he's not on the field. We talked about Trent Williams yesterday with the 49ers. And I think the 49ers situation is, B, tell me what you think. Who can you win with and who can you win without? I think they can win without Brandon Ayuk. I do not think they win without Trent Williams.
I agree with you. And that is a story that I think we need to monitor more so than the Brandon Ayuk situation. Mm-hmm. Because Trent Williams, whatever it is he's asking for, you cannot debate should he receive. He means that much for their offense. You know, when you talk about the offensive mindset, you usually get the quarterbacks and some skilled players. For their offense, for what they do, he is the transmission for their car. If you don't have Trent Williams, you're not going to go very, very far because he does so much. Number one, he shores up Brock Purdy's left side, and he's an intimidator. You know, he's the guy that when you have an issue, that's who you go get. Oh, I got an issue. Let me go get Big Trent. Let's go get it done, Big Trent. And guess what? He lives up. I mean, he's a future first ballot Hall of Famer, no question about it. And my thing is about this, it just kind of happened out of nowhere. I don't know if internally they were aware that Trent probably wouldn't show up if he didn't do something to his contract. But for me, when I heard he didn't show up, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Where did this come from? Because all the attention has been on who? Brandon Ayuk. You know what I mean? So that is something to monitor out in San Francisco, because how can you please everyone, right? Whatever Trent Williams is asking for, you got to give him. But then what about Brandon Ayuk? Because if you paid Trent Williams, who still has years left on his deal, you know Brandon Ayuk's going to feel some type of way, more so than what he's already feeling. So that's the storyline, guys, I think we need to monitor throughout training camp. Because if you're Trent Williams, no question, whatever it is, you're underpaid. And I think he has the leverage to sit out as long as possible until something is done.
It is a Brian McFadden. He's going Julio on San Francisco. We're talking about Trent Williams. No, man, Brian McFadden with us, two-time Super Bowl winner here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We're live at Hooters Mall of Georgia. So, Brian, talk about Cincinnati. You know, a window of opportunity with all your players, your best players, what Buffalo just had and maybe missed. What is going to happen with T. Higgins? You know, and who am I forgetting? Yeah, Jamar Chase. You got two of the best on that offense and make it cook. So how does that get fixed?
Well, T. Higgins is not getting a contract extension from Cincinnati. He's not lowering his price, and he should not lower his price. But with that being said, he's not going to get an extension, because you talked about Jamar Chase. And oh, by the way, Jamar Chase still has 2 years left on his deal. And he's a hold in. So it's almost like, number one, he's a hold in. T. Higgins is there, who reported, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, I thought I saw that he actually did report to camp under the franchise tag. So it's almost like he understands where he is when it comes to contracts with the Cincinnati Bengals. But what do you do with Cincinnati? Because for all our football heads that are listening to us, if you know anything about the Bengals, they're cheap.
They're super cheap. They are.
They're cheap. They'll pay a quarterback, no question. But other positions, they try to nickel and dime as much as possible. So knowing that Jamar Chase has 2 years under his rookie deal, knowing you don't necessarily got to pay Jamar Chase right now, what happens? Because Jamar Chase is not in the same situation as CeeDee Lamb, who has 1 year under his deal, and CeeDee Lamb is probably like the 24th highest paid wide receiver. You know, Jamar Chase might say, I'm younger, but name me another wide receiver that has done what I've done, given the opportunity to do so. So for Cincinnati, that's another peculiar situation, because you need to pay Jamar Chase, but usually, guys, you guys know how it goes. Usually guys don't get paid until going into their final year of their deal, especially non-quarterbacks. So we got to wait and see how it plays out. But Cincinnati, man, that's a nickel and dime organization. They're one of the organizations who don't mind shopping at the clearance rack.
Oh, we told the story years ago. Remember on Hard Knocks, Carl, the players had to rent the TVs in their dorm room?
That's right.
When David Pollack got drafted, he's like, so when's the plane getting to pick me up? No, you're going to Hartsfield and you're flying up to Cincinnati. So that's the way they operate. Real quick, in the division, Deshaun Watson said this year they're going to cut out all the BS. What is Deshaun Watson going to be?
Well, first and foremost, what was the BS?
doing?
What BS was going on in Cleveland? Because throughout all the adversities with injuries, they still were very, very successful. So, number one, I'm confused about we got to cut out the BS, because they were doing something right. But
this wasn't involving him.
yeah. And that's the thing. They were successful without their, you know, franchise-like quarterback. But for me, I did my prediction about a week and a half ago, AFC predictions, and I had Cleveland to win the division. I had Cleveland to win the division. Number one, I love their roster. I think they have one of the more talented rosters in the AFC North from top to bottom, along with a very, very stout, opportunistic defense. And, you know, under the best scenario, you get all of your superstars back healthy on the offensive side. Who's slowing down that offense? And then you add in Jerry Jeudy, you know, with Njoku, Amari Cooper, you know, more. So they got some guys that can play football who played football well last year. And if Deshaun Watson just, I don't expect to see Deshaun ever get back to that Houston, Deshaun Watson, because he missed so much time. You know what I mean? So that kind of messed up his rhythm. But if he can get back to being a more than a serviceable guy and a playmaker, I mean, good luck in trying to slow that team down. So I picked them to win the AFC North.
Yeah. Where are you headed next, brother?
Oh, next I got Pittsburgh this upcoming week coming up. And then I get chance to go to Chicago, get some one-on-one with Caleb Williams as well. And I think I'm doing that after the Hall of Fame game. So next week I got Pittsburgh, and after that I get Chicago. And till anything else is scheduled, they need to get me the Flowery Branch, man. I don't know what's going on, man. They got a lot of buzz going on. That's locally for me. But as of right now, my next two stops is the Steelers and Chicago, the Bears.
All right, bro. Your boy Troy Polamalu was up there. I just saw a pic of him and Mike T kicking it, talking about family. Well, hey, so I'm sure you'd be all up
Troy
in there.
Get in the front office. Troy's trying to get in the front office when it comes to scouting. Yes, I don't know if it has been. I don't know if I should. Should I have said something? I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Hey, you know what? I will say this, Carl. He's, Troy has a good head on his shoulders.
He does. He does.
I'm talking too much. My bad.
No, man. You know what? No. Listen.
Now we know.
Nothing's happened. But when it does, we'll say you heard it first here.
Now he's Kirk Cousins spilling the beans.
B-Mac, we got to run, man. Hey, be safe. Enjoy. So glad football's back, man. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for having me.
All right. That's Brian McFadden, guys. Coming up, our interview with Braylon Trice. Also, what the were the Braves trying to do last night?
Snicker says, talk to them, because I sure as hell don't know.
What was that? We got to talk about it, and we will. We're live at Hooters Mall of Georgia, Buford location. Come on through. We'll be here until 7. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.